Ladies and gentlemen, the newest member of the Cavalier family. He's starting at center from UConn, number 3, Andre Drummond.
Hey, Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about Cavs Clippers, which was a basketball game that happened in the debut of one Andre Drummond. That's coming up today on Locked On Cavs, the daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Evan, how's it going, buddy? Happy 27th birthday.
Thank you.
This was, I guess, I imagine you had more fun things going on this weekend for you aside from Cavs Clippers.
Well, last night I was a bit of a mess, and I put myself in timeout actually at like 8:30, and I woke up at 11:30, and I sprung up. I'm like, all right, let's keep going. And then I ended up at Swenson's at midnight, and I'm like, this is a good way to ring in 27. But Cavs Clippers was, I'll just be frank, not fun to watch. I'll admit, like, I had it on in the background when I got home from, because I stayed it with my family for the weekend because my brother came into town from college and stuff. So I kind of had it on the background. Like every now and then I'd like was closely focus in. But no, it's what I expected. The Clippers are probably the second or third best team, depending on who you ask. I think Milwaukee's the first, in the NBA. So I kind of expected this result no matter who LA rolled out there. So yeah. Now, what about you, buddy? Did you watch much of the game or did you kind of like flipping through?
You know, I'm a, as people of this podcast probably have guessed, especially if you've like listened to the ad reads and heard me make Uncut Gems jokes, I'm a movie person. So the Oscars are on tonight, and I had the game on my laptop and had the Oscars on the big TV, sitting out there with my wife, telling her all the movies that she hasn't seen because she probably does more productive things with her time than I do. And I was like, yeah, like, I was like getting pumped when like Brad Pitt got his speech whenever. But look, we're recording this before the game is even over. It has been that lopsided. It seems like we're going to get just a bunch of garbage time in that game, which, you know, that is what it is. The Clippers didn't have Kawhi, but absolutely stomped on the Cavs. But Drummond made his debut. His stat line as we're recording this, I don't think he's going back in, it would be my guess, but 19 points, 7 of 17 shooting, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 of 7 from the line, 2 of 3 from 3, which is a career high number of threes for him. Evan, what did you take away just from Drummond's kind of opening night? I think that's clearly the only story that really matters in this one.
Pretty solid debut. You could tell the Cavs were trying to feed him throughout the game whenever he was out there. But in honor of the Oscars, and just to quote a favorite movie of mine from Austin Powers and The Spy Who Shagged Me, the Cavs' mojo has definitely been lost with this lineup change. Like, the bench, which we used to sing the praises of, I think losing John Henson, who is a little bit better at moving the ball. Granted, Tristan hit a three tonight, but I rely more on Henson hitting three-pointers. Like, you could just tell, like, the Cavs were off, and they were trying to get Drummond more involved early, and there's some cool highlight plays. Like, KPJ had an awesome windmill dunk. Drummond hit 2 three-pointers, and he had a really sick play with Jetty. But overall, just a solid debut, I would say, but the Clippers, like I just opened up with, are a very, very, very good basketball team, and I kind of expected this result. And just to allude that Duncan Smith is on, he kind of just alluded to the same thing, saying like there's going to be moments where Andre Drummond looks really sharp and you think he's going to look great, and there's going to be other moments where you're kind of frustrated overall. So I'm sure I'm going to get a better idea of that as time goes on, but it wasn't the worst. But I mean, it's just not a fun basketball game overall to watch, so probably not the best debut to have. What are your thoughts on Dre's debut?
Yeah, I think that's a good tease. I forgot to mention at the top, Duncan Smith from like Hoops Habit and Forbes and some other places will be on at the end of the show talking to Evan about Drummond. Specifically, wanted to get a Drummond expert in. So we got Duncan, who's really, really good, despite what Scott Mann may tell you. I felt like, particularly because it was the Clippers game, I'm taking some of this with like a grain of salt because you could see the seams of incorporating a new piece and a very like unique new piece that doesn't fit anything the Cavs had before. And you know, swapped out the guy I think has probably been the Cavs MVP up until the point of this season, Tristan Thompson, out of the starting lineup, kind of rejiggers a bunch of lineups like you alluded to. And I think you saw that. You saw Kevin Love like kind of pointing him to go certain ways. You saw Kevin Love do in very different ways. I mean, I felt like they were trying to get Drummond the ball in the ways that we might have seen them get Kevin Love the ball. And Kevin's kind of being used a little bit more as a decoy. And that's going to be something to watch because I do think you're seeing him off ball is going to be more reliant on him being fed the ball by guys like Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. And we know that has been kind of an ongoing struggle this year. You know, I felt it was notable that they were trying to get him established in the paint and especially as close to the rim as possible. I think you're going to see a lot of that going forward. It's going to be, I think, an adjustment for everyone, but I think it's going to be a thing where they're going to try to use him in the ways that are kind of the most, probably the best use of him. And then there's going to be stuff where you see him, you know, setting screen. I loved how they did have him use set screens for Love at the top of the key to kind of get Love free for three pointers. I like that they had him as a role man for lobs. I like that they have him setting back screens, then filling in to kind of dive to the rim and stuff for offensive rebounds. I think there was little stuff you saw that was smart. I think it's going to be a work in progress. And like the challenge of these, it's always a challenge of these, even on good teams, even on really well coached teams, is you bring a guy in and you have to incorporate them. And when he's going to change you, particularly when that guy is going to change your DNA a little bit, it's going to take time to kind of incorporate that player. And I think particularly when you only have two games with this guy before you have a break, it's going to take some time before we kind of actually have a real gauge on what Drummond's fit with this iteration of the Cavs really looks like.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, yeah, no, I guess there's just no other way to really spin it. Like you said, they've never really had a player, like, at least in quite a while, probably since Tristan Thompson. Well, maybe Anderson Varejao, when he was putting up 14 and 14, he kind of looked like a very competent big man, but then injuries kind of, you know.
Well, and maybe like, maybe that half season of Mozgov.
Yeah,
I mean, Mozgov was, like, great that half a season when they got him from the Nuggets.
Yeah.
I think those are the only three, though. I think even then, like, Drummond is, I think, just he plays so differently than anyone. Like I can't think of the last Cav big.
He's a massive like, human being.
Yeah, that played like this.
No, I agree, and I think the Cavs are trying to get him incorporated on the fly. I saw them using him a lot in like high dribble handoffs and stuff too, which is fine, I guess. They had him bringing up the ball every now and then, like you said. Him setting screens for Kevin was nice. I think it's just going to take a little bit of time, especially all things considered. Cleveland has two very young guards with one that struggles to move the ball and one that struggles with consistency. Well, the one who struggles to move it is Colin Sexton. The one who struggles with consistency is Darius Garland. And then, I mean, KPJ is a solid enough playmaker and Jetty Osmond is a competent playmaker. So he has options. It's just establishing a comfort level. And like you said, Tristan's been the man in the middle for quite a while now. And he is arguably the team's best player and MVP this year. So you remove him from the lineup, that's obviously going to shuffle things up quite a bit. And it's not like John Henson where it's like probably an easier plug-in because you're not trying to feature John as much in the offense as you are Drummond. And it's just kind of the shuffling of the deck is going to be tough. And maybe playing the Clippers isn't like one where you should overreact. Maybe see how they look against Atlanta because I'm almost positive. Clint Capella won't be available for that game. He is supposed to be out till at least past the All-Star break. So maybe that'll be just another like good game to get the momentum rolling heading into the All-Star break because I doubt anyone, maybe Colin Sexton gets in for the Rising Stars game if Trey pulls himself from that. But other than that, like Cleveland's going to have a lot of time off. So hopefully they can build some momentum off this. And I'm just not overly concerned right now. You and I talked about it many times, and we've like talked about it in our G chats and stuff. Like the Cavs have 30 games. based on what I've heard, Drummond's planning on opting into his player option over the summer, so that gives him even larger sample size going into next year based on what happens, but you can't overreact too much to a first game. He had a solid enough stat line, but Cleveland was force-feeding him for sure, and I'm not too worried. Talk to me maybe like 10 games from now, and if it's still like noticeably bad out there, like there's got to be some questions you have about what the Cavs are exactly doing, but it is what it is. And I mean, Cleveland's down almost 40 with 5 minutes and 20 seconds to go, and LA has playing players that have the last name of Coffee, and so I think that might be just a generic player gen by 2K at this point. Life is a simulation, but it just wasn't a good game overall for a debut, and I don't think you can take too much stock out of it.
Yeah, I have the game on one of my screens right now on my computer, and like Drummond is in the game late in the fourth quarter. You can see that like there is going to be an adjustment period where like Sexton and him are in a pick and roll on the right side of the floor, and like Sexton just doesn't have that in his DNA. And I think that this, at the very least, like this is just going to smack, I think, people that in the face a little bit. I think that's just going to be readily become a thing for people to kind of keep monitoring. Well, let's real quickly, as we wrap up this first segment here, I just want to say, I'm going to just, if there was like a Buzzkill sound, or like this is just part of my brand, I own it. Andre Drummond shooting 3 3-pointers and making 2 of them is not proof that he is like good at them. This is like a weird thing. This is like an anomaly for his entire basketball life. It's the same thing with Tristan. And like, even if the Cavs give him a green light to do that and in the form of whatever, it's just like, this is not, until I get 50 games of him shooting like them and looking okay, and like him making a decent percentage, it's not a real thing. And I refuse, there's no reason to be optimistic about that. That is like the one thing that I feel very strongly about saying after one game, that the 2 of 3 from 3-pointing thing is just weird and not real.
First off, I won't accept Tristan Thompson's slander on our podcast. He's a better 3-point shooter than I know, but like he is a better 3-point shooter than Ben Simmons.
He also, I think he airballed one and made one in this one. So you know, it's an
adjustment period, Chris. Yeah. Come on now.
I will say they did just try to run something I like. They tried to have Drummond initiate, him and Sexton ran like an inverse pick and roll with Sexton diving. It was a turnover, but I like that they're going to try and do that stuff. Continue.
Yeah, no, keep it funky, keep it fresh. They played Nance a small forward for a little bit tonight too. So
that was wild.
Yeah, I mean Larry didn't have the best of nights, but I mean, you know, let's just have some fun with it. We're young. I mean, I'm only 27. I'm not 30 yet. So let's just have some fun with it. But I agree. I don't think Drummond's going to be a reliable 3-point shooter. Like, I think I joked about it when we were doing with the chase down, that crossover pod, or maybe it was just the two of us about him being a 3-point option. But for his career, Andre Drummond is hitting 4.8% of his 3-point attempts. Or no, sorry, this season it's 4.8% of his 3-point attempts and 12.4%. So that number is going to go up a little bit. But this season, he's only attempted 0.4 3-pointers per game before this. He's not going to be like a trailing option from three. But you know what? I guess the Cavs are going to just let him take those shots, because now he's the team's best or second best player, depending on who you ask. And whatevs. I don't care. I ain't going to complain about it if it's just going to keep working, but I don't expect it to keep working.
Yeah, I think you just don't want it to become like a clear waste of possessions for no reason. I feel like, I don't know if you saw the GIF, but it's like, when I saw all these threes, it was like I don't know if you saw the GIF of Billie Eilish at the Oscars, just like looking at the stage, like, what is this? I'm gonna send it to you. Because shuts to Bubba Prague for tweeting it, but I'm gonna send it to you so you know what I'm talking about. So don't look like a crazy person. But this is how I feel right now. This is just my vibe.
It's not Andrew.
That's how
Biden
I felt.
Yet, so
look, Andrew. if we get through like 2 weeks and it's like Andrew Drummond is chucking 3-pointers at practice, like,
you know what? Whatevs. Like, let's just have fun. Let's just get weird. I don't know.
Yeah, let's get weird. That's a good point of this. Okay.
I'm watching the GIF now. Yeah, that's a pretty.
Yeah, that's how I felt. People can find that on the Twitters. Okay, we're going to be right back with more Lockdown Cavs, so stay tuned for more from me and Evan right after this.
Hey guys, Evan here. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality, at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy mom and dads, first responders, and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. Not me, Echelon. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women and even children who are trying to get fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. That's actually a steal if you all things considered. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited time, free Apple iPad, and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's Echelon fit.com/LONBA. Echelonfit.com/LONBA.
All right, Evan, we're back. I should just note other Cavs news from Sunday. The Cavs have signed JP McCurra and Malik Newman, who scored 47 points in a triple overtime game for the Canton Charge over the weekend, which, good Lord, tying a season high. Yeah, season high for anyone in the G League this year. They signed them to 10-day contracts. I think it's good depth, at the very least. But to turn back to Sunday's game, what else to you is just kind of, did you feel like you about this game? Anything in particular else stand out to you, either good or bad?
For the Cavs, there's a lot of bad to talk about. Let's talk about some good. Good vibes only in 2020. KPJ right now has 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. Zero turnovers, because I remember when he had a couple critical turnovers a few games ago, he was taking that hard. But God, it's really hard to claim something positive when Cleveland's creeping towards being down 50. Other than that, just to jump up to the other team, I really like this Clippers squad a lot. I think they will give, at full health, I think they'll give the Lakers a run for the money, especially with the news that Darren Collison is not coming out of retirement and won't join either the Lakers or the Clippers. So it's going to be a fun contest between both organizations, because I think I read that the Pistons and Reggie Jackson are flirting with the idea of a buyout. So I think they're both going to be fighting over him.
Well, and Tyler Johnson,
is
another one. So yeah, and you think maybe Philadelphia's in on those guys too.
Yeah, so like it's going to be a fun arms race between both LA teams just to see who can be more ridiculous. But I like the addition of Marcus Morris a lot. I think that the Clippers are just like, that's just another good, a big body you can throw at LeBron to kind of slow him down. And then you have Paul George and Kawhi roaming the perimeter. And I know Pat Beverly's kind of slowed down a little bit this season, but he's still a pretty good perimeter defender as well. And I start to think, if the Clippers played at full strength tonight, this game would have been maybe a lot worse from the opening tip. But yes. I don't know. I like this Clippers squad a lot. I'm happy for Ty Lue. I'm glad the Cavs gave him a big shout out after the first timeout, and like they cut back early enough into the TV feed that you could hear them wrapping it up, and like the crowd was giving him a bit of quite a nice standing O, which was nice. And I don't know. I like how the Clippers are constructed. Maybe Cleveland can be where they were at last year before they made these mega trades to get Paul George and sign Kawhi Leonard. And no, I just kind of like the direction they're heading, and it's good for basketball that two of the top teams in the league are based out of one of the biggest media markets.
Yeah, I will play. You'll hear the clip. I'm on the way, and you heard how Ahmad Crump announced Drummond in his first game with the Cavs. On the way out of this segment, I will play the little segment they played for Ty Lue at the queue. So if you didn't see it, or you just want to hear something optimistic to end the segment, that's going to be there for you at the end of the segment. I will say two things for me. Number one, KPJ was excellent. I'll say three things. KPJ, just again, really excellent. I think one of the things I saw that I would like, I think was a note that I think he's going to get, once he gets kind of the next step from offensively, I think, is to just be more ready to catch and shoot threes quicker. Mm-hmm. And I think if he gets that, like there's his offensive game is going to start looking really, really, really well-rounded. Second, Tristan Thompson's in a really weird spot now. We knew this, but it's like very jarring to see him go from playing like 35-ish minutes a night or whatever to like 17. And at one point I thought he might play the whole fourth quarter in garbage minutes, which just would have been like very bizarre. this is just going to be a weird thing for as long as he's around. So I would just say keep an eye on that. And secondly, if I was going to make one rotation adjustment going into Wednesday and beyond, I know why they're playing, and maybe Sexton's foul trouble contribute to this. I don't quite know. But when you look at how McKinney comes in, and then like I get McKinney's probably more solid and just more like even keeled. I would play Exum over McKinney. I think there's just more upside there. I think the ball handling, the speed, the defensive ability is probably similar. I would just play Exum. I would give Exum, like if McKinney's going to play, so he played 20 minutes in this one. Exum has only played 6. I don't get that. I think McKinney is fine. I think he's solid. Maybe John Beilein just doesn't like Dante Exum. Dante Exum has much more of a chance to be like an actual piece for the Cavs beyond this season and next. I would just give him those minutes and just see how it works.
Yeah, that is weird. I'm kind of like looking at Exum's last few games, and his minutes are wildly inconsistent. But
I mean, I know that from my conversations with Alphonso McKinney, the Cavs coaching staff does view him as the team's best perimeter defender. But like you said, I know like he signed a decent enough extension with the Cavs. I don't know like the guarantees on it or what.
There's no guarantees. Years 2, 3, and 4 are non-guaranteed.
Okay, so yeah, it's not like the Cavs have a lot to lose, but maybe McKinney shouldn't be getting 20 minutes a night if the Cavs are getting relatively close to full health. And like you said, Dante Exum may be a piece going forward. You kind of have to see what you have with him, especially when your young guards are struggling at least with fouls when it comes to Sexton or just overall scoring in general when it comes to Garland. I mean, granted, Garland led the team tonight with 6 assists, but I agree. I think like what Exum brings to the table is a lot more intriguing, at least, when it compared to McKinney, and I don't get it. Yeah, maybe he is in Beilein's doghouse for some reason, but I don't know. That's definitely just like, I guess I didn't notice that, like maybe because Dante Exum kind of has usually a consistently quiet night other than that one night where he went absolutely off. It's kind of like, yeah. So it's just maybe it's a little bit of that. Maybe it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. But to jump, go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
Okay. To jump back from your other point. Yeah, no, this Tristan Thompson thing is definitely going to be jarring. And I hope it doesn't end up blowing up in Cleveland's face. Like, Tristan has played the company guy for the better part of this season and has been, by all accounts, the leader of this locker room. And I hope taking a backseat to Andre Drummond and more of a reserve role. I mean, he had, let's just say he's done for the night with 19 points with 5 seconds to go. Or 19 minutes. He has 7 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and he was 1 of 2 from 3-point range. Like you said, he took 2 threes, which, you know, is pretty big for to me taking stock of the fact that he's an elite 3-point shooter. But no, I just hope like it doesn't get frustrating after a while where maybe Thompson just takes such a reduced role. But at the same time, it might be nice for Cleveland in a sign and trade scenario in the summer. They're like, listen, he was getting a lot of minutes up until the trade deadline, and now he got a lot more rest going forward. And I don't know, maybe it's part of it where the fact that the Cavs do see Drummond more in the future than they do Tristan, and maybe they're trying to preserve Tristan for a sign-and-trade scenario and just kind of roll the dice and see what they have with DeAndre going forward. But yeah, no, that's, I don't know. It's just, when you start to break down the numbers, you start to raise a couple eyebrows at who played where and how long and just across the board. It's just, it was a weird night for the Cavs, and granted, this is a really good LA team, so it kind of threw things off from the get-go.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson just closed out the game with Malik Newman, Dean Wade, Alphonso McKinney, and I think Dante Exum were the 5 on the floor. That's how he closed out the end of that game. That is just weird.
I hope he doesn't close like that, out his that, career like that. That's sad.
Yeah.
Cavs career, not career.
Yeah, general. Yeah. His situation with the Cavs got like weird in a hurry, and I think we knew that, but it just feels very jarring to me that it's already just like, okay, that this is where we're at with that. Evan, any final thoughts as we get out of here?
Again, I wouldn't overreact too much to Drummond. Kind of, he had a solid enough stat line, but had the most attempts out of anyone on the team. Maybe just wait a little to get a larger sample size, but it's just going to take a little bit of time because this is a major piece, and now Drummond kind of gets run of the roost at this point going forward, where he's the team's best player.
and maybe like I'm not too overly concerned. I think this game against Atlanta will be hopefully a good palate cleanser. But
also the last team the Cavs beat at home, Evan, do you remember when that was?
A really long time ago.
December 23rd.
My goodness. No way.
Yeah, you're they have not won a home game since December 23rd.
That's absurd. Oh, man. I love this team. It's just the Timberwolves finally won with Karl Anthony Towns, so I guess I don't have that joke anymore. So now the Cavs are the Joker gifts that you sometimes send me. So, So hopefully beating the Hawks is a good palate cleanser.
That's truly the rudest thing that I've ever done. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
No one needs more Joker in their life.
If that movie wins Best Picture,
You're gonna need a new co-host.
No, just we'll change your name, your alias, all that other stuff. Like, weirdly enough, my new co-host has the same voice. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna walk into the ocean if that happens, and then I'll come back out like from I don't even know. I don't have a good joke. But that would be very troubling to me. Hopefully, that won't happen. But 2020 is now that no more sending Joker memes and gifts at your way just to troll. I was doing my inner Kevin Love, you know. I'm just living my Kevin Love life.
There's nothing wrong with that. He's a supermodel, Chris. So
Kevin Love took eight shots in this one, 7 three-pointers. Yeah, we're in weird times, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Evan, okay, now you're going to hear Evan talk to Duncan Smith from Forbes and a couple other places about Andre Drummond. You'll hear also the celebration of Ty Lue, which was probably one of the high moments of Sunday night's game. And then we're going to be back tomorrow. Jeff Siegel will be one of the things. TBD, what else we're going to talk about. So if you have questions, drop those at us on Twitter or via email at lockdowncavs@gmail.com. But again, back tomorrow, the Cavs lose to the Clippers 109-73 in Andre Drummond's Cavs debut. He plays 29 minutes, 19 points, 14 boards, and then 2 of 3 from three. But now a quick break, and we'll be back with Evan and Duncan talking all things Andre Drummond.
Cavalier fans, please welcome back to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, the head coach of your 2016 Cleveland Cavalier championship team that made history by overcoming a 3-1 deficit to become NBA champions. Welcome back to the land, head coach Ty Lue.
Joining me today is my boss at Hoops Habit, and he also covers the NBA at large for the Basketball Writers and also works with me at Forbes covering the Pistons. It's the OG blog boy and the bane of Brian's existence himself, Duncan Smith. Duncan, how's it going, man?
Hey, Evan, how are you doing?
Can't complain. I'm officially 27 in 2 hours and 30 minutes, so I'm milking the last few hours of being 26. But, you know, this snow is a real bummer, and I'm kind of over it, and, you know, just waiting to see what happens, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I'm just watching it pile up outside, looking forward to shoveling the sidewalk and driveway and all that. I am also over it.
I feel that for sure. But, you know, let's talk about something a little happier. Like I mentioned to everybody before, Duncan covers the Pistons for Forbes, and Chris and I felt we needed to have an insider's perspective on newest Cavalier Andre Drummond. But before that, Duncan, how do you feel about the trade itself for both sides? I know we kind of touched on it a little bit, and you touched on it for a piece with Forbes, but let me hear your perspective on how you think it went for the Pistons and then the Cavs.
In general, I think it was okay for the Pistons. You know, obviously you would like to get a bigger return than a second round draft pick in the fairly distant future. But, you know, at the same time, it signals a change of direction for the Pistons. And I think that that's a change of direction that is, if not overdue, it's definitely due. I think, while there's no real return, there might be something of an addition by subtraction. Not to say that Andre Drummond is not a good player. It's just, you know, it's tough to fit. You know, it's tough to make things fit with him. And with the Pistons really starting to go in the direction of a youth movement, he really doesn't fit with that either. I think that the time has come for a new direction, and you know, it's not a perfect deal by any means, but it's basically, it's okay, you know?
Oh, I get that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Just from the Pistons side, as far as the Cavs, obviously it's a talent upgrade. It's an upgrade in contribution over what John Henson and Brandon Knight were giving you, but the fit's weird. I think that's. I guess it doesn't really matter because I don't think the Cavs should really care too much about winning as the season goes on. But the fit is strange, and it's weird that they didn't try to, or they didn't go way out of their way apparently to get anything for Tristan Thompson. You know, it's just strange to me.
So when this trade actually went down, Chris and I both were just kind of texting. We were saying like, what? Well, we originally planned that we were going to do like an immediate reaction podcast. And it was maybe like 5-10 minutes before this trade happened. And I said, I think we're just going to scrap this podcast. Nothing's going to happen. But as soon as Andre got sent to Cleveland, we were like, all right, yeah, no, Tristan Thompson's at the door. And like you said, it feels like a bit of like a weird clunky trade. It's obviously a talent upgrade. I think him and Kevin Love will be a lot of fun to watch. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how the next 30 games goes. And I've kind of had this sentiment for a while, and I wonder if you agree, since you're a guy who's watched a lot of Andre Drummond in your time. Does he kind of feel like a player to you where he's a nice complimentary piece, but he's not really going to come in and ruin Cleveland's chances of being a lottery team? And I don't think he's going to have like a massive impact on their play. They do have playoff implications, but you know, they're obviously slim. I don't think Andre's going to be a difference maker. Do you agree with that?
I don't think he's going to be a big difference maker, that's for sure. You know, simply because there's so much redundancy with what he brings, you know, when you compare it to Tristan. You know, I don't think that he's going to be the reason that they go 500 for the rest of the season or anything like that. So, you know, I don't think that he hurts the tank too much.
Yeah.
But it's just... It just seems silly, you know, overall. It seems like maybe there's some sort of master plan behind it all, but it seems like, you know, Colby Altman was looking at the list of guys that they might be able to get for fairly cheap and was like, this one, you know, it's
yeah. Just
like it has the look of it's a little too scattershot, basically.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. And I think, before this trade happened, I mean, it obviously juiced up the fans a lot just to have something happen for Cleveland to the trade deadline. All things considered, like the Jordan Clarkson return was underwhelming, and we were slowly marching towards the expectation that since Thompson didn't seem like he was getting moved and Kevin Love kind of played and acted his way out of getting traded this deadline, like it just felt like nothing was going to happen. So I don't know. I think the one thing that is nice though is trading for Andre may pull Cleveland out of free agency this summer. And I guess asking you, since I'm not as rehearsed on this and I've tried my best just to keep up on it, do you think he's going to opt into his player option this summer? And like, did you think he was going to do that if he ended up staying with the Pistons past the deadline?
I'm pretty sure he was opting in either way. I think that there's been a report that he's actually planning on opting in. But you know, basically every trade that happened was bad for him. You know, like right off the bat, the Hawks going out and getting Capella, that removed them from consideration of being like the team that really just broke the bank and threw a lot of money at him to sign him. I think when that happened, I would say that Drummond was pretty much just resigned to the fact that he's going to opt in and try again in 2021. You know, there's only a few teams that have the cap space that would really, you know, be able to draw him. And one of them is the Pistons, and the rest don't need him. So,
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I'd say he's a virtual lock to opt in.
Okay, well, that would give Cleveland, I mean, we're recording this on Sunday night. We're about 22 minutes away from his Cavaliers debut against the Clippers. So that would probably give, well, that would give Cleveland at least a sample size of at most 112 games. What do you think Cavs fans should expect from the Andre Drummond experience over that time?
A lot of rebounds, some inconsistent offense and defense, but he's going to show flashes that will, you know, they'll be they'll inspire the fan base, and then like the negatives that you'll see will kind of infuriate. He had a lot of there were things lingering from, you know, his 2015, 2016 seasons that Piston fans, the fan base in general, just wasn't really able to get past. You know, I mean, there's about a 40% chance if you ask a Piston fan, like, what Andre Drummond needed to get better at, they would say, well, he's the worst free throw shooter in NBA history. He needs to get better at that. You know, there's yeah. just like this disconnect between what Andre developed into and what the fan base that he's leaving now thinks he is. So I think that it's going to be really interesting to see him get the opportunity to have sort of a reboot. You know, like, I think that, well, maybe Cavs fans aren't the most educated on him yet. They're going to have fairly fresh eyes. You know, he's a guy that goes out and drops 30 and 20 on you guys now and then in the past. So, I think that Pistons fans, you know, while the time I think was right for him to move on and for the Pistons to move on from him, he was really underappreciated, I think, by the fan base here. So I'm hopeful that that there's a positive relationship and vibe between Cavs fans and Dre, because I think he deserves it. He's a good guy. He's a good player. He's gotten better every single year. He's added like more dimensions to his game every single year, and not everybody does that, you know, especially after getting that big contract a few years ago. He's really taken it upon himself to be it hasn't really worked in a lot of ways, but he's taken it on himself to sort of modernize the way he plays, all while, you know, being perhaps the best rebounder in history, or certainly in modern history.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to put it. That's kind of the expectations I have, and hopefully people listen to you, maybe pump the brakes a little bit before this train gets off the rails. But that's going to do it for Duncan and I today. Duncan, before I let you go, why don't you let the folks at home know where they can find you, and if there's anything you want to plug today, go ahead, and the stage is yours, my friend.
You can follow me on Twitter at DuncanSmithNBA. As Evan mentioned earlier, we both do Forbes stuff, so you can check out my Pistons content on Forbes if you're interested in that. And for NBA stuff in general, go to Hoops Habit. We have been just pumping out a ridiculous amount of stuff. I've barely had time to write because these guys are making me work hard with the editing and everything. So, we're really excited about Hoops Habit. So go there for your NBA stuff.
Perfect. Everyone, please give Duncan a follow. You're really missing out if you haven't yet. The wars with good old Scout Man himself have made him a part of NBA lore. And if you thought the beef with Justin and Roe and I was legitimate, let me show you an actual NBA Twitter beef. But as always, you can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Cavs, and you can find myself at AmNotEvan and my co-host Chris Manning, who had his dinner explode before we could record this segment, at CMW Rates. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cavs.